This month's teaching theme is foundations. We all know that the Lord Jesus is the foundation. He is the rock upon all that is built. He created, he designed, he formed, he built everything. He is the creator. The title of my sermon today, The True Love Story. Now, all you men, don't y'all try to sneak out the door. I giggle as I think about it sometimes, how different men and women are. Kinda. Because men, we want to see John Wick. We want to see all the action movies, the war movies. But I think deep down inside, even most of you men, if you would be honest, really love a good love story. I mean, when you think about it. But now women really love love stories. And mankind writes a lot of good love stories. They make movies about them. They write books about love stories. But mankind's love, it's very fickle. It's, of course, we know it's broken. We know it's flawed. I mean, I love you guys immensely. But my love is flawed. My love's not perfect by any means. But the Lord doesn't mind that. The Lord's not caught off guard by that. The Lord knows when we need him, which is always. But even when we think we don't, the Lord knows that. The Lord knows we need him. We can do nothing aside from him. My main idea, perfect, all-giving, and unfailing love. I want to take just a second and ask you guys a question. Do you really take the time to think about how much the Lord really loves you? Take a second to think about that, about how much he really loves you. Of course, the Father's only begotten Son, Jesus, gave his life on the cross. And even before that, he had to come down from his heavenly realm. He had to come down from something that was perfect beyond what we can even imagine. He came down from that for us. He lived on this earth as a man for us. He was humiliated. He was shamed. He was ridiculed. He hung on that cross and died to save us from our sins, to give us an eternity in heaven. That's how great the Father's love is for us. Now, I'm going to try to stay on track today. My wife teases me and tells me I kind of get some Pentecostal preaching up in me. So it's very easy for me to get off track. So I Googled when I was studying about this. I Googled and want to see how many times it's mentioned in the Bible of the Lord's love for us. In the King James Bible, it said that the Lord's love for us is mentioned over 310 times. In the New International Version, The Lord's love is mentioned for us is mentioned over 500 times. And the New Living Translation, the Lord's love for us is mentioned over 645 times. Now that's a lot of talk about love. And that's why I wanted to ask you guys, can you take just a minute and think about how much the Lord truly loves you? I used to kind of giggle. I steal so much from the pastor. I hope I never get I think it's called plagiarism. I hope I never get a charge for that, because the pastor might be the first one to sign the documents. But I think all of us are guilty of that, because the Lord has dearly blessed our leader. I used to kind of giggle years ago when the pastor would, because the pastor in Bible study and when he talks up here and everything he shares, he talks about, he calls us chosen. He calls us dearly beloved. He talks about the Lord's affection for us, and on and on and on. And I used to think to myself, well, I know that's true, but I don't think I really knew it. I don't think I took the time to really develop that. And when I say develop, that's by talking to the Lord about it in prayer and in meditation, saying thank you to the Lord for how much you love me. The Waymaker saved my life when my first wife passed away. The Waymaker made a way for me when he gave me a beautiful new bride. The Waymaker made a way for me when he stuck all you guys with me. Now, I say that in teasing. But the Lord is gracious. The Lord is kind and loving and merciful. The Lord is full of compassion. When I was studying to give this sermon, I thought about just writing all the words down. Pastor shared something on Facebook not long ago about writers. And I was going to comment the simplicity of words for writers. And there are a lot of good writers. You guys are a lot of good writers out there and out there. And to be a writer, you have such simplicity with each word. And I never looked at a word until I started coming to Valley Brook. I never realized the significance of a word. Grace. Love. Mercy. Forgiveness. Kindness. Affectionateness. Wholesomeness, eternity, everlasting, exquisite. I'm not going to give too many more words because I ain't got many. But that's the Lord. That's the Lord. He is infinite. He is all giving. The Lord would not withhold one good thing from us. If it's to his glory and to his praise, how magnificent is the Lord God we serve. And we don't serve him as servants. We serve him as as his children. So Ephesians 1, 4 through 7. Now I have a lot of Bible verses I wrote down here, because y'all heard how many times the Lord mentions his love for us in the Word. And I'll let the Word talk about that a little bit, because his Word is the best way. Ephesians 1, 4 through 7. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable and beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That says it all right there. I could stop right there. I have a lot of other verses. I probably won't even make it to half of them. I even thought about just doing my study on that. On that four verses. Those four verses say everything. That's what the Lord has done for us. That's who the Lord has made himself to us. We are chosen before the foundation of the world. He thought about us. So in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did all that after he thought about us. Think about that for a minute. He created the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe and all that is created. He did that after he thought about us. That's love. That's love. I mean, how do you think about something before you create everything? That's what the Lord thinks of us. That's how much the Lord loves us, each one of us. I'm going to change that. I may struggle sometimes with how the Lord feels about me. But that's because of this mess. That ain't in my heart. Because the Lord lives inside me, in my heart. He knows my flesh is weak. He knows I stumble. He knows I fall. He knows when I hit my finger with a hammer, I grumble and I grouch and complain. He knows this whole summer when it's been 100 plus degrees, I've been up on the roof sweating and complaining. But at the end of every single day, he has had the grace over me to literally make me get in my truck before my men and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us through another day safe. Giving him the glory, giving him the praise. And then I thank him for each job he gives me. I thank him for waking me up in the morning. That's his love for us. That's his doing. That ain't by my strength. I want to act like I'm a tough guy sometimes. But I ain't. I'm that sissy that watches a love movie and goes and cries and goes, oh, man. Our Thursday night Bible study a few weeks ago before we took a break, Miss Laverne was talking. And I don't remember exactly what we were talking about. But she came out and said, all right, now I know you men are going to kind of draw back a little bit. She said, but this love story. And I just kind of giggled. Because I know that's what the Lord puts in our hearts. Because he lives inside of us. So now I'm going to go to Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. All right. I'm sorry, in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them. There he is, thinking about us again. He formed us specifically. He doesn't care. He's not impressed or worried about when we wake up with bedhead hair. He's not worried about if we wake up with bad breath. He's not worried about when we wake up grouchy. None of that catches him off guard. None of that surprises him. He loves us in that place. Right there. He loves us. He cherishes us. He brings us through the storms. He is the way maker. Thank you so much for that song, George. So let's see. He thought about us beforehand. He gave us a planet to live on. A planet. Not a home. A planet. I mean, think about that for a minute. Only the Lord could do that. He knew beforehand we were going to be flawed. We were going to sin. We were going to fall short. But yet he gave us a planet to live on, to sustain us. He gave us the sun to warm us. Out in outer space, almost all planets, almost all stars on the sunny side are hundreds to thousands of degrees. And the shady sides, hundreds or thousands of degrees below zero. Not the Earth. Not the planet he gave us. That's what the Lord did for us. That's the Lord's love for us. My next, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all. I actually love the excitement the Lord gives me to share about him. It just amazes me the joy the Lord has given me to share him. I tease at Bible study and Sunday school and stuff that I shout it from the rooftops, and I'm so glad nobody's ever really seen me up there. Because y'all be like, man, this brother needs to come on down out that side. But it's not that. That's the blessing the Lord has given me. Now, not everybody has that blessing or even that excitement. And you don't have to. That doesn't belittle your faith or your relationship with the Lord. Because you are special to the Lord. You are individually created and formed by the thoughts of his imagination. You're given breath from him. We have life because he breathed in our nostrils. Whew, what a mighty God we serve. So Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, I was thinking about this when I was studying and talking to the Lord about it. And I was thinking, in my little imagination, I'm thinking, okay, well, Lord, you created us in your image, but then later you breathed into our nostrils and gave us the breath of life and made us living souls. So I was... Excuse me, I was giggling to myself thinking, well, maybe we were just mannequins at first. And then you breathed into our nostrils and didn't just give us life. You made us living souls with spirits and bodies. You did this, Lord. You made this possible. And what joy you have given us to worship you and to praise you. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 31:3 is my next verse. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Everlasting love. Everlasting love. Loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's what the Lord thinks of us. The Lord's not fickle. The Lord's not flesh and blood. The Lord is spirit. The Lord has loved us with an everlasting love. As far as the east is from the west, from the before the beginning of eternity, because that was time. God does not live in time. God is omnipotent. God is the Almighty. The Lord is the Almighty. He loved us before everything. And He will love us after everything is done. When He brings us unto Himself. We don't know when. We don't know what time. Some of us want a little sooner than others. But when He's ready, in His time, He'll bring us to Him. I've been studying so much about death and people passing. I don't look at death anymore like I used to. I even told my wife one day a few weeks ago, and this might sound very strange. I told my wife, I pray she passes before I do, because I don't want her to know that pain of losing someone she loves. Even though she has lost people she has loved, I don't want her to have that pain. And I felt very weird saying that. But that's how I love my wife. That's what I think of my wife. Now, I don't know what the Lord has in store with all that. And I'm not even worried about that. Because even if that happens first, Lord forbid, if I die soon, the Lord has my wife. She is saved. She has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She is a believer. The Lord will comfort her. Will she cry? Yeah. Will she be sad? Yeah. Will she be hurt? Yes. But the Lord will bring her through it, if that's what the Lord intends. So I trust Him in that. That's right, brother. Amen. Okay, there I go, getting sidetracked there for a second. Jeremiah 32:40-41. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them, to do them good. But I will put the fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yet I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. That's the Lord talking. That's what the Lord thinks of us. That's how much the Lord loves us. He cares for us. He nurtures us. He gives us our every need. Even when we think we're stuck in a pit and we're not going to make it, somehow we see that hand reach down and He grabs us and pulls us out. Somehow when we think we ain't going to make our rent, He sends that check over somehow. Or he sends someone over with some money that we didn't even expect. He is the way maker. He doesn't do this by chance. He is the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. And it's so much more than... Now, these things are important. These things are important. We need all these things. And the Lord supplies them. But it's His loving kindness. It's His endurance. It's His everlasting love. It's His grace. It's His grace for grace. He is the supplier. Thank you, Lord. So my next verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's the only one I used to read. But here I go plagiarizing again. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Right there. That's the Lord that that's the Lord that we serve. He gave everything. Everything is through Him. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I often think about this because I watch war movies and I see recipients of the Medal of Honor where men have died, laid their life down, and saved countless other men and women. And I used to think about that and wonder if that's what the Lord was talking about. And I think in a manner, that's what the Lord's talking about in my little mind. But what the Lord's really talking about there, He was perfect. He was holy. He was righteous. He was just. He laid His life down willingly that we could be forgiven for our sins, that we would be redeemed, that we would be His children, His sons and daughters. We're not servants. We're not slaves. We are His children. Forever. Starting the moment you have already said yes to Jesus, and starting the moment that you're going to say yes to Jesus. So if you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, when you do, you're never going to be the same. Never. I guarantee it. And that is because of what the Lord has done. I'm getting a little bit of a time watch here. So I'm not going to stop, but I'm going to stop with the verses. I just want to say, we are chosen. We are chosen. We are holy. We are without blame. We are adopted. Because we once were not children. There was a day before we said yes to Jesus. We were enemies of God because essentially we belonged to the evil one because we were not We have not said yes to Jesus yet. He hadn't drawn us to say yes. We didn't say yes by our own accord. It's not by our will that we're the children of God. It's by His will. Don't forget. Ephesians 1, 4 through 7. He thought about us before we were even dust. The dust wasn't even created yet. He did all this. I love it when I hear a pastor talk about Miss Laverne out playing with her plants and playing in the dirt. I got that from my mom. I come home from work, hard work, and I play in the dirt. I pull weeds. I talk to our plants. I play with our plants and our flowers. And I love my hands getting dirty because I know that that's what the Lord created me from. And when I watch a seed in the ground grow, and I see that sapling form and its tender little shoot sprouting out branches, that's us. That's us. That's what the Lord has done for us. He is growing us in Him. He is making us more like Him. What more could show someone's love than to make you more like Him who is perfect and holy and just and righteous in all His ways? That's the Lord God we serve. What a mighty and great God we serve. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He created us in His image. He breathed the breath of life into us and gave us living souls. He loves us with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, He has drawn us unto Himself. He will never turn away from us. He will always do them good. He will rejoice over us with His whole heart and His whole soul. He gave His only begotten Son. I know we love our children. I have a son. And I have two sons. And I thank God for my sons. Would I be willing to give up my son? Nah, not so much. But that's because of my flesh and blood. That's where I talk about I can't love like the Lord can love. I can do my best to love like the Lord loves. I pray about loving others as the Lord has loved me. But I can't love like He does, no matter how hard I try. And on top of that, I don't want to force my love. I want my love to be genuine. I want my love to be wholesome. And I want my love to be from Him. I don't want to fake this stuff. I don't want to fake that I feel good. I don't want to fake that this is always what I want to do. Sometimes I don't want to do this. That's just the truth. And y'all know me. I'm going to try to keep it real. Holy. Perfect, without spot, He laid His life down for us. Not because we were holy or perfect or without spot. We were exactly the opposite. And He loved us nonetheless. That's how great the Lord loves each one of you. And I don't mean just each one of you here, everyone out there. When you think you're not loved, talk to the Lord about it. Go spend some time with the Lord about it. He wants your heart. He wants to know. He already knows. He wants you to talk to him about how you feel. You know, we don't have to like everything we talk to the Lord about. The Lord doesn't expect that because we would be faking it. He doesn't want that. He wants the real, genuine, all of our heart. He wants to know how we feel by being expressed to him, even though he knows it. I used to think to myself, well, Lord, you already know everything. Why do I have to tell you? Why do I have to empty out the mess in my heart, the dirt in my closet? I don't want to open my closet. My closet's disgusting. But when you share that with the Lord, and you give that to the Lord, because you literally are giving that to the Lord. When you share with him your heart. When you have concerns, when you have fears, when you have doubts, share that with him. Talk to that about him. I can guarantee you, he's going to comfort you. He's going to give you peace. He's going to have mercy over you. It might not be right now, because I won't ever say I know what the Lord's going to do. I won't say that. I don't know if he's going to give it to you instantly. He may. He may say, just hang tight. Sit in that struggle for a minute. I have something better for you. I have something I want to teach you. We are but clay on a spindle to his beautiful shaping hands. And his hands are perfect. He wouldn't give us anything evil. He wouldn't harm us. He loves us. He has our best in store. He who started a good work in you will bring it to completion. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going on some verses that I just don't have time to read this morning, so I'm just going to give you my thoughts and the words I chose out of these verses. Now you have to remember, when I started this, anywhere from 350 to almost 700 times in different versions of the word of the Lord. That's how much he talks about his love for us. And I look at these words. I'm not a scholar. I'm not going to get into what I'm not, because none of that matters. You know why? Because the Lord chose me. The Lord created me. There is no not in my life. It's all by the grace of God. It's by his goodness. I could tell you so many things. The Lord has blessed me because I have nothing that I have not been given. Nothing. I don't have any money. I don't have a home. I don't have a work truck. I don't have a car. I have nothing of that except the Lord gave it to me. And not because I earned it. Not because I deserve it. Not because I'm worthy in myself. But because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. I love the book of Job. Whoo, that's a tough book. When I think about Job, whoo. But Job never turned his back on the Lord. He never gave up on the Lord. And the Lord knew that already. So I questioned a lot of times when I read that. But then, Lord, why? And this is what the Lord wants. And I was asking this from my heart. But Lord, why would you have done that if you knew he wasn't even going to turn his back on you? You look at Jonah. Jonah ran from you. Jonah went and hid in the bottom of a boat. You had to cast him into the mouth of a whale. You already know all these things because it's to his glory. It's to his praise. And as a child of God, that's what he's developing in each one of us to want more of, to be more like. You know, when I look at my brothers and sisters, like when I look at George, and I tell George how much I love the music ministry that he is the leader of, and I loved it when Ronnie was the music leader. And I know she ain't looking at me right now, but she's gonna. I loved when Ronnie was the music leader. But I love what they're doing because of the fruit the Lord is giving through them. Yes. When we often talk about the work we do for the Lord, it's not really the work we do for the Lord. It's the fruit he's developing through us to be more like him. I didn't mean to call you out like that, Ronnie. The Holy Ghost. He didn't want to leave us as orphans. When Jesus went home to be with his Father, when he was raised up into the clouds, the Lord knew we couldn't be here alone. We'd have never made it. We're a mess down here even with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you look at politics, you look at crime, you look at everything. At our best, we are a mess. And I'm not even going to try to start rhyming, so. conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, and I got to read this one. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Galatians 4, 5 through 7. Redeemed. Adoption of sons. Jesus' spirit lives in us. Oh, and this part. Heirs. We are heirs to the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. He has a home waiting for us. He has a home waiting for us. I giggle all the time. I know it's in the Word. I think David said it. If I am just a doorkeeper, if I am able to just hold the door of the house of the Lord, what a blessing. What a glorious treasure that would be. His love is better than gold. There is not enough gold on all the earth to compare to the love of God. Not enough. Fort Knox, all the other countries, none of it. The shininess of gold pales, looks like rust, in comparison to the love of our Father for us. And all of this, is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, through me. You can't go see him. You can't meet him. You can't talk to him except you go through the Son. Whew. We can have confidence that his work in us will be complete in Christ Jesus. Oh, boy, I could just go on about this all day long. The Lord has been so grateful and so kind. And I just think about what a miracle. And I mean all of you when I say this, but I think about, because it's personal for me. It's absolutely personal when I think of the transformation the Lord has done in my life. Not because of my work, not because I'm smart or wise or hardworking or anything else I could even think of. It's because of His grace and His love and His mercy. It's His kindness to each one of us, to me. And it is personal to me. When I do something stupid and I mess up, I don't feel like I used to feel. I still feel bad. I still feel a little bit of condemnation, even though I know I don't have to, because the Lord has forgiven me. But now, when I do something stupid, instead of running away from Him, instead of hiding from Bible study, Lord, I don't know if I want to read my Bible this morning because I was so stupid last night. He draws me to Himself. He opens my heart to Him. He gets me, He draws me to call on the name of Jesus. The evil one? Nah, not so much. He wants me to run away from Him. He wants me to hide from the Word. He wants me to not pray. He wants me to not open my heart. But that ain't who I am in Christ. I'm done, guys.